You know, the stories of several people in the Bible are woven together in such a way that they almost seem to be inseparable. We seem to know more about their relationships than we do about them as individuals. And in an age where we seem to worship individualism, their stories become helpful models of good relationships. In Naomi and Ruth, in this passage of Scripture, Naomi is the mother-in-law, Ruth is the daughter-in-law. And it's a beautiful example of a relationship of blended lives. They're from different cultures, family backgrounds, different ages. And mother-in-law and daughter-in-law sometimes, well, probably they had as many opportunities for tension as for tenderness. They shared deep sorrow. They shared joy. And they had a very close, unbreakable commitment to the God of Israel. Ruth 2, 1 to 23 is not necessarily a passage one might think of hearing about on Thanksgiving Sunday. But it's a wonderful example of Thanksgiving. Today is Thanksgiving Sunday. And it's a weekend in the fall season when we celebrate with family and friends and food and football. Or in some homes, football, food, friends, and family happens to be there. Four F's. But there is a fifth F. And the fifth F is one that unfortunately gets tucked into the corners, seemingly along with the scraps of the Thanksgiving meal. And that F could be favor or faith or faithfulness. Some may see this passage of Scripture as an example of good luck, good fortune. In your circle of close friends, I'm sure you know of people who seem to have the foundation of their lives is built on luck. There are others who are more negative, and they say, well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I probably wouldn't have any luck at all, so I'm thankful for bad luck. I'm sure you know people like that. As we launch into this passage, I need to ask you a question. What is your relationship to luck? Now, the next statement I'm about to make is neither alternative fact nor fake news. When we read the Scriptures, the truth is there is no mention of luck. But there are many expressions of faith, a favor, a faithfulness. Unfortunately, in our culture, many Christians dilute, water down God's goodness, His favor. And they water it down to the lowest denominator, the four-letter word, L-U-C-K, luck. Truth is, though, the Bible is not based on luck. But it is based on, it's like a guidance into a personal relationship with a loving God. A loving God who takes delight in each and every one of His children and showers His children with favor and thanksgiving. I have another question for you. Do you have a hunger, a yearning, a desire for God's favor? Maybe you say, well, I don't even know if I've ever had God's favor showered upon me, and I don't know how to receive it. This scripture tells us. Receiving God's favor is not just the luck of the draw. When we look at the lives of Naomi and Ruth, we see a life that had not been fair to them. They had every reason to complain. They had every justification to blame their circumstances on bad luck. Some might say, well, what do they really have to complain about? Well, dead husbands, dead sons, futures that looked bleak, dismal, hopeless. But what we discover in Ruth is a wonderful story of thanksgiving, of gratitude, of kindness, of provision, of God's favor. It's a wonderful drama Boaz is one of the main characters. And it says a clan, refers to a clan, which is a group of families that have a common ancestry. And it opens with an introduction of Boaz. He's a kinsman, a close relative, a man of standing, a man of riches. When you read more about Boaz in commentaries, you find that they speak more about his character than they do about the fact that he was rich. And he is an owner of land. So we talk about the field that he owns. A little strip, a field that I get the impression from a commentary was kind of a little strip of a field amongst a whole variety of other fields that belong to other owners. And here's how it's described. When the wheat and barley were ready to be harvested, reapers were hired to cut down the stalks and tie them into bundles. Israelite law demanded that the corners of the fields not be harvested. In addition, any grain that was dropped was to be left for the poor so that they could pick it up and use it for food. And this is what was referred to as gleaning. And the purpose of this law was to feed the poor. It was a welfare program. Ruth was a widow. Naomi was a widow. No means of providing for one another. And Ruth did not want to have to rely upon Naomi for provision. She resolved to somehow, some way, raise awareness of her situation. She knew she had the right to glean, to pick up after the reapers. But she needed more than just gleaning. She needed the favor of someone. The law allowed her to glean. But the owners, many times, were uncooperative and didn't follow the law. You can read this passage, and in some versions it'll say, as it turned out. And it refers to, she happened to choose, just happened to choose the field that belonged to Boaz, who she did not know was Naomi's relative. Some would say, what a coincidence, what good luck, what fortune. So she ends up in Boaz's field. And this is a very important step towards receiving God's favor. How do you and I view our circumstances? How do we see this situation? Do we see it as a coincidence? Or do we see it as God being involved in the midst? Because God gets involved in the affairs of people. He leads, He guides us to an end. And it's a life lesson too. If you and I are merely waiting for God to provide, we need to think that maybe, just maybe, He's waiting for you and I to take the first step to demonstrate how important our need is. So in Ruth 2, 4 and 19 and 20, we see that God is behind this luck. It's providential that she chose Boaz's field. And it teaches us that God is behind, constantly behind the scenes in our life, arranging events and people in our lives. But how does one recognize God's hand in one's life? Well, we must learn to recognize God's providence at work in our coincidences. So if we look at Boaz's arrival on the field, he greets his people. The Lord be with you and also with you. It was unusual. Usually it was peace be with you. But when he says that, it reveals the character of Boaz. Godliness. Caring. Concerned. And as he comes to the field, he knows his workers. And he knows that there is a new person in the field. And he asks, who is that person? Most of the women belonged to someone. So he assumed that Ruth had some connection with one of the workers. And then she approaches Boaz. And she asks him for something that she was not entitled to. She asks if she can do more than glean, if she can gather from the harvested barley and wheat. And then she goes back to work. The workers have told Boaz that she's been working since early morning. Boaz recognizes her boldness, her confidence, her faithfulness. She's waiting for an answer which could be positive or negative. And it teaches us a life lesson. What is our attitude when a task is given to us and we think maybe it's not up to our potential? The task at hand may be all you can do, or it may be the work that God wants you to do. And in Ruth's case, it was a test. It was a test of character that opened doors and opened opportunities. And so we come to Boaz's response. Now, some owners would have probably punished a person to have been so bold. But we witness an amazing response. He offers her a job. Not only a job, but a permanent job, so that she does not have to go anywhere else to seek employment, to provide provision. And then, on top of that, he offers her protection, warning his men not to lay their paws on her. It was dangerous to work in the field if you were a woman. And then, on top of that, he offers her water. If you wanted water, you had to go off the field, pull yourself away from the field, and gather the water that the men had gathered earlier. He offered water. And then he offers her food, and he serves her. And the leftover, he encouraged her to take home. He knows of her background. The workers have told her that she is the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Ruth realizes that she has received favor, that Boaz is the source of God's blessing. And here is the life lesson. God uses people in our lives to convey blessings. And this is significant. All that Boaz gave her was because of her request, because she asked for it. If she had not made that bold request, she would not have gotten the bold response. So it teaches us that if we want God's favor, we must be willing to ask God to grant us favor. Maybe you need to reflect where you need God's favor. You need to stop, look, and listen. And think of where you require God's leading, and then you need to ask. And then we move on. Boaz has given an overwhelming response. And how does Ruth respond? She responds to God's favor with gratitude. She's so overwhelmed that she asks, "Why are you doing this for me?" And it reveals the characteristic of humility, not entitlement. And Boaz's response to her why, he knows she has been faithful to Naomi. She has left her home. She was bold to come up and request, make a request. And it was because of Ruth's faith that Boaz responded positively to her. And he says, he asked God to reimburse her, to give her the wages of faith. She had exhibited admirable qualities that had built a positive reputation. It was an overflow of God's favor. And the characters in the book of Ruth are really kind of those standard classical examples of good people in action. And we see that in Boaz. But then, when we receive God's favor in our lives, we need to be faithful, as Ruth was. It wasn't just good luck, by chance. When we are faithful to God, we find God's favor on our lives. When we recognize God's hand already at work, when we request His favor, and when we remain faithful, we are set up to experience and realize God's favor in our lives. But then the most exciting part of this chapter, when Ruth goes home and conveys this story to her mother-in-law, Ruth had not seen God's favor. But when Ruth tells the story to Naomi, Naomi, when she learns that it's Boaz, she breaks out in praise to God. He's a kinsman redeemer. And that was a concept where a kinsman redeemer had the right and obligation to redeem land that was sold. People were sold as slaves. The right to marry Ruth. And Naomi realizes this. And you'll learn more about that in chapter 3. Naomi realizes he's a potential husband for Ruth. And so her expression of praise is a reflection of her grateful heart. She had been bitter. But now she sees God's favor at work. She realizes that God has not forsaken them. And so for us, we need to realize as we go about our daily tasks that God is working in our lives. We must leave the doors open. We need to reflect upon the luck or the coincidences and see them as God's favor being showered upon us. And when we receive God's favor, we need to have grateful hearts. And we need to respond as one of the 10 lepers. All 10 had been healed. Only one came back to express thanksgiving. You know, too often in my life, I have expected God's favor, become a little disappointed or angry when He hasn't responded in the timeline that I have assumed it would take place. And then His handiwork is in evidence, but I have failed to come back and express my thanksgiving. We need to stop and listen. We need to stop counting on good luck to get us through life. Instead, we need to consume our lives looking for, seeking for God's favor as His faithful children. And we need to nurture. We need to embrace this living God who takes delight in giving His grace and favor to His faithful children. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, and not just any Thanksgiving Sunday, and not just a Thanksgiving Sunday, every day of our lives, we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. We need not hesitate to ask for His favor. And then we will truly be able to sing praise to the Lord of Harvest. We'll be able to give thanks to the Holy One with grateful hearts. And my wish for you is that you will find God's favor in the midst of your life journey. But how will you answer the title of the sermon? Is your life based on good luck, or is it based on God's favor? Happy Thanksgiving.